it could be great, actually, in Zico's opinion.
Yes, so whatever it is, there is an opinion that says ein zika even when there's only one brother. Let Rab say the halacha is like that. The answer is, yihava amahoch, yihava aminafil mechayim. True, but if Rav had said that, then we would think that it means that the Yavam is allowed to marry the mother even before Chalitza. That he's allowed to actually be mevatel the mitzvah of Yavam by marrying the mother and therefore being and therefore preventing himself the Yadayim from doing the mitzvah. That's why Rav has to tell us clearly in order to clarify. On the one hand, ein zika. On the other hand, we don't say ein zika to the extent that you can actually be mevatel the mitzvah. If the Yavama dies, then you can't help it. Fine, then you're allowed to marry the mother. Mishum also about the mitzvah of Yavama, because you're not allowed to actually go and be mevatel the mitzvah of Yavama, which he would do by actually marrying the mother.
How long can you wait? Can you make the loving brother can wait?
No, in principle, it could be as long as...
As long as you want.
She should do it as soon as possible, because it's not fair to make her wait. It's not fair to wait her and be magging her, but in principle, it could be. Yeah. Well, there is also the fact, for example, you can have a case, you know, we mentioned in the Mishnah that you have the case where a brother is born after the brother dies, when we say, Eishasachem Shalahar Bailame, where there's no Yibum, but you could have a case where he was born just before his brother died. He can't do Yibum or Chalitza, so he's by mitzvah. So he has to stay tired. So yes, you could have a case where the Yavama has to wait many years. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, the Gemara says, Tanan, let's consider. The Mishnah says, Yivimte Shemes Mutar B'Achosa, that if the Yavama dies, the Yavama is allowed to marry her sister, which implies B'Achosa Ein V'Imaloi. He's allowed to marry her sister because a sister, even if he was really married to the Yavama, even if he actually did Yibum with her, fine, once the wife dies, he's allowed to marry her sister. The Torah only says he's not allowed to marry two sisters while the first one's alive. V'Imaloi, the implication is the mother is never mutter.
Even if
yes. Yeah, but even the Rabbanan can be mafia, something it says in the Torah. If the Torah asks you to marry a second sister while the first one is alive, after the first one dies, even the Rabbanan is not enough. The implication is he's not allowed to marry her mother, no matter what. Why? B'pashtus, because yesh zika. The answer is no. Loi, hu adin afilu b'ima. No, the Mishnah might really mean that you even are allowed to marry the mother as well. Only since the first part of the Mishnah mentions the case where a person's wife dies and it says he's allowed to marry her mother, where there, after all, it's true, but not her brother, her mother, her sister, rather, which there it has to be, the sister. He's only allowed to marry the sister. He's not allowed to marry the mother. That's an Isur Daraisa to marry his mother-in-law even after his wife dies. So the Sefer also mentions the sister, even though, according to Rav's position, the Mishnah could have just as well mentioned that he's mutter to marry her mother or any of her relatives, because she's only a Shemeres Yavam and Ein Zika. That's opinion number one. That was Rav. Rav Yehuda says, before Rav Yehuda was saying in the name of Rav, now Rav Yehuda is saying his own shitta, or we'll talk about later that this isn't necessarily Rav Yehuda's own shitta, that he might have learned it from Shmuel. We'll get to that later at the bottom of Yitzchak. So Rav Yehuda holds, Shemeres Yavam Shemesa Oster Behima. No, a Shemeres Yavam dies, you're not allowed to marry the mother. Alma Kasava Yesh Zika, which implies that Rav Yehuda holds that Yesh Zika, the Zika, is considered as if they were already married. So just like if a man is really married to a woman, he's also in her mother forever, even after the wife dies. Same thing over here, even though she's a Shemeres Yavam, even though she's only a Shemeres Yavam, we say Yesh Zika, and therefore the mother is still off limits.
Even after she dies.
Alma Kasava Yesh Zika,
oh, yeah.
Which implies that he holds Yesh Zika. Again, we're back to the question. Why doesn't he say flat out the halacha is like Rav Yehuda ben Beseder, who holds Yesh Zika? And again, the answer is, so here the Gemara is going to go through kind of the opposite thing that we did with Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Then we would say the other way around, that maybe when would we say Yesh Zika, maybe he would hold Yesh Zika only when there's one brother. But maybe he would hold them, the two brothers, and not necessarily is one or the other of them bound to do Yibum or Chalitza. Either one could do it. You would think maybe Ein Zika. So therefore, we have to clarify.
Maybe he would say
Yesh Zika when there's only the one brother. When there's only the one brother, because necessarily that brother is going to have a Zika because he has to do Yibum or Chalitza. But when there's two or more brothers, there's no Zika, maybe, yeah. What do you mean? Why, the whole machlokas over there about Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and the Chachamim applies when there's more than one brother. The scenario we just had, where Reuven afterwards and Mekadesh is in the Kaddish Sara, etc., that whole bit. But obviously, they're talking about Tzrei, not one. Eli Yamahachi, no, the problem is like this. If Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, had said that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira the Tana, have Aminim Echayim, then you would think that only applies as long as the Yavama is alive. But you would think, after she dies, the Zika goes away, and that's it. Then you can marry the mother. No, the Chiddush Rabbi Yehuda is telling us is Zika does not just go away without having been somehow satisfied. Mela, if there was a Zika, and then the other brother, Shimon in this case, actually did Yibum or Chlitza, then fine, that's different. The Zika has actually been satisfied. So therefore, then we can tell Reuben, go ahead and marry your Sarah. In this case, where the Zika has not been satisfied, it's just been kind of evaded by the Yavama dying, that's different.
That's according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda?
That's according to Rabbi Yehuda the Amor. So now this Mishnah that we quoted before to that we wanted to use as a contradiction against the Rav, now we're going to use it as support for Rav Yehuda, who holds the other way. We said that if the Yavama dies, you're allowed to marry her sister, which implies b'achoisa ein imalai. You're allowed to marry the sister, because even a full-fledged wife, you're allowed to marry her sister, the imalai, but you're not allowed to marry the mother. That would prove what Rav Yehuda is saying, yesh zika. And again, the answer is loy, who in dafka l'beima. No, again, you could say, like we said before, the Mishnah might even mean that you are allowed to marry the mother. But again, since the first part of the Mishnah had mentioned that if his wife dies, his full-fledged wife, then he's mutter to marry her sister. And there, again, it has to be dafka b'achoysa l'beima loy. He can only marry the sister. He can't marry the mother, dafka loy yisur d'araisa, because the mother remains an yisur d'araisa forever. So the Sefer also mentions the sister for parallelism, even though, in fact, the Mishnah could just as well have mentioned the mother. So you can't, just like you can't use that Mishnah as a contradiction to Rav, you also can't use it as a support for Rav Yehuda. Because the Mishnah, the second part of the Mishnah might not have been using, might have not have been wording it precisely. It might just have been for parallelism with the first part.
There's no rebuilding in that
part. Right.
Just parallel.
Yeah. Must Rav Huna Bar Chiya. Now, Rav Huna Bar Chiya asks a question as follows. This last thing that we said, that Rav Yehuda holds yesh zika. Our Mishnah, going back to our Mishnah, mentioned the case, let's review. Our Mishnah had mentioned the case, you had the one brother died, afterwards another brother was born, then the second brother did yibum, then we're saying, we're calling it...
The second
brother who was already alive at the time that the first brother died.
Okay.
So, you know, this is the scenario that we had at the beginning of the parish. At the beginning of the parish, right. So you had two brothers.
Right.
One of them died. The second one did Yibum with the widow. Now a third brother is born. The Mishnah is talking about a case where first Levi is born and then Shimon did Yibum. We're going to talk about the next Mishnah on Amud Beis. We'll talk about the opposite scenario. There we're going to get to
the
bottom.
So the one brother dies,
the second brother is born, and then he does Yibum.
And then he does Yibum.
Yeah. So okay, they have it a little backwards over here, but whatever. Anyway, what did the Mishnah continue? The Mishnah had continued, also by Mimer, that if instead of actually doing full-fledged Yibum, if Shimon only did Mimer with Sarah, which we said is only effective Midrabanan, Umes, and then he died without doing full Yibum, Shnia Cheletis V'lemis Yabemis, then we said the second woman, Rivka in this case, has to do Chalitza and not Yibum, because we said Midaraisa, we said Sarah's not in the picture, only Rivka is Shimon's wife, and therefore, it's a regular case of Yibum. Midrabanan, Sarah is in the picture because of the Mimer. Therefore, she's Sarah's Eishas Achim Shalahei by Lamai. So therefore, Chalitza and no Yibum. That's what we said.
Only
the Rabbanan. Only the Rabbanan, right. Which implies, Taima de'obad ba Mimer, why are we saying that she has to have Chalitza and no Yibum, is only because Shimon had already done Mimer. Haloi ovad ba Mimer, which implies if he had not even done Mimer yet, then it would imply that the second one could actually do Yibum. On the face of it, there shouldn't be a problem. If there was no Mimer over here, she's definitely not considered the Tzara of Eisha Sachem Shalaya by Lamai. Because he never did Mimer with her, much less Yibum. The question is, v'yamad yesh zika, if you're going to say that yesh zika, if we're going to say that as soon as Reuben dies, we already consider there's a relationship between Shimon and Sarah, and remember at the time, Shimon is the only brother, because as soon as Reuben, because when Reuben died, Levi wasn't born yet. Well, that has to be. Shimon is the only brother available to create for there to be a zika with. That's the question. Just the zika itself automatically makes that Rivka is now the tzara of Sarah. By virtue of that alone, wouldn't we be able to prove from our Mishnah then that obviously ain zika? Yeah. Because if there was zika, then yeah. Amar Rabba, no. Who adin da afag abdolai ovet b'maimer? In fact, the Mishnah is not saying only because Shimon did maimer with her that therefore we're saying that second one that Rivka needs chalitza and not yibum. Who adin? The same thing would be apply afag abdolai ovet b'maimer. Even if he'd not done maimer, shniyam michlatz chalitza, the second one still will have to do chalitza. Yibum lemiyama, she still cannot do yibum.
Why?
Because yesh zika. If we say yesh zika, even without the maimer, yesh zika, and therefore Sarah is already considered connected to Reuven.
Yes, because she had then.
Right. Okay, so v'hadu katani maimer. So why did the Mishnah mention specifically maimer? La puki mi bis shamai. That was to tell us not like what bis shamai holds. Amri, because bis shamai holds, we'll have later in the Masechta a couple of times, maimer kona kinyan gomer. Bis shamai holds maimer is not just midrabanan, and after maimer, they hold that maimer actually makes her his wife midaraisa. Well, you still need Yuvama Yavo Yalea. There's no question you still need Bia. But Mimer by itself, Kedusha, in accordance with Shammai, is enough to make it that she's already considered 100% his wife, even Midaraisa. What? I don't know if they find a pasuk. I guess we'll get to that later in the Masechta if they find a pasuk for it.
Mimer is enough putting Bis Shammai to
make her. Yes.
Even, I mean, he needs Bia, but even Kiddushin, without Bia immediately, it's
yes, the same way as in a normal case, if it wasn't a matter of Yibum, right. Kiddushin makes her his wife, except that they're not allowed to, yeah. So, Kamash Malon, so that would be the Kiddush. According to Bis Shammai, in other words, if he did Mimer, it would be the same thing as doing Yibum. If at that point Shimon dies, then yes, of course. Then of course, Rivka is a tzara of Eishes Achav Shalahei by Lamech. Okay, according to Bis Shammai, tzaras are not potter anyway. That's another matter. But still, we might have said, fine. As far as tzaras, the halacha is like Bis Hillel. But as far as this particular detail, maybe the halacha is like Bis Shammai, and therefore she'd be potter completely. There'd be no zika. Kamash Malan. That's the chiddush that there is. That since halacha is not like Bis Shammai in that either, then there is still a zika, and therefore she needs chalitza in order to satisfy it. There was a Zika Midrabanan, that is it.
Just because it's a Shammai.
Yeah. So therefore, you can't prove anything from our Mishnah whether yesh Zika or ain Zika. All you can prove from our Mishnah is that Mimer is not kind of Kinyan Gomer. It's yeah. That's that, yeah. Ace Abaya. Okay, Abaya asks another question. Again, on the if we're going to say yesh zika, here again, it's going to be a question on Rabbi Yehuda who's saying yesh zika. A Braisa says, Shnei Achen Ba'olam Echad, if you have two brothers who were in the world at the same time, Reuven and Shimon, Umes Echad Mehen B'lai Vlad, one of them dies childless, which is exactly the case between Yibum, V'amad Hasheni Hazel Lachas Maimer B'Yibim. The second one is getting ready to do Maimer in the Yibama. Here he hasn't even done Maimer yet, he's just getting ready to. V'lai Hispik Lachas B'Maimer, he didn't even have a chance to do Maimer, Achenor L'Lai Och, before a third brother was born, Umes, and then the second brother dies. So it's a similar case to what we just described, except that instead of Shimon actually having done Mimer, he hadn't even gotten to it yet.
And he knew his wife's...
No, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter for our purpose, but yeah.
He didn't do it.
Yeah.
All the time.
Harishona Yotzis from Eisha Sachav Shalaya by Lama. We're saying the first woman is Potter because from Yibum at that point because she's Eisha Sachav Shalaya by Lama because Levi was not in the world at the same time as Reuven. Ushnia Ochelitzis, I miss Yevemet. The second one needs either Yibum or Chalitza. And again, the second wife, Rivka.
Oh, okay.
So it's the same case as this, except instead of here would showing that there was Mimer. In the case we're talking about is there was no Mimer.
Right.
There was no Mimer, so therefore we're saying Sarah is to Levi, Eisha Sachav Shalaya by Lama, because Levi was born only after Reuven died. As far as Rivka, given that she was never connected with Shimon, he never even did Mimer, much less Yibum, then Rivka is not the tzara of Esha Safa Shalai Bar Lama. She's his regular brother's wife, and he does Yibum or Chalitza, as the case may be. And again, the question is, V'yamat Yesh Zika, if you're going to say Yesh Zika, that the Zika is considered, what, as soon as Reuven dies, it's already considered like Shara is connected to Shimon, regardless of whether he actually did Maimer or not. Again, you have the same question, that the Zika itself makes her Esha Safa Shalai Bar Lama, and then this is her tzara. Now here you can't answer that we're mentioning Maimer because we want to say not like Beis Shammai. Here the point is he didn't even do Maimer yet. Even according to Beis Shammai, there's nothing holding them together. The only but if you're going to say Yesh Zika, that holds them together. The answer is Hamani Reb Meir Hidrama Ein Zika. Fine. You know who that Mishnah is like, that Braisa is like. That's according to Reb Meir. Reb Meir holds Ein Zika. We're trying to ask over here on Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, who holds Yesh Zika. Fine. There are Tanoim, I mean, who hold Yesh Zika. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, we mentioned before. But there are also Tanoim who hold Ein Zika. One of them being Rabbi Meir. So fine, you can't slog up one from the other. Question is, okay, Misvirle the Rabbi Meir Ein Zika. Really, you're telling me that Rabbi Meir holds that Ein Zika? V'hatnan. But we have a Mishnah, and usually Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah says, "Arba," at the beginning of the next parak, "Arba Achin." Suppose you have four brothers.
And now we're going to dispute Rabbi Meir's.
No, we're not going to dispute. It's a given. Fine. I mean, the Braisa that we just quoted is according to the Meir. Later on, when we quote the Braisa in full, which is probably tomorrow, we'll mention Dibur Meir. So there's no question the Meir obviously holds Ein Zika. The question is, doesn't that seem to contradict another Mishnah, which implies Yesh Zika? And we have to assume Stam Mishnah of Meir.
So the
other mission, the other one is a Baisa, but it says Jibri Reb Meir. So therefore, you seem to have a contradiction within what Reb Meir himself is saying. Vatsnan, we learn in a Mishnah, Arba Achim, if you have four brothers, Shnayim Mehem Nesurim Shtei Achayis, two of them are married to two sisters, Umesu, and both of the brothers who are married to the two sisters die. Now the problem is Umesu and Nesurim, and the ones who are married, and the ones who are married die. Now, the problem is like this. We mentioned before, and we're going to mention a number of times, Midrabanan, there's an issur of marrying Achos Zkukasai. You're not allowed to marry the sister of your Zkuka. A Yizkuka, meaning a woman who, your Shemeres Yavam, the one who has a Zika to you. In this case, Levi and Yehuda have a Zika to Rachel and Leah. But when you get down to it, for example, Levi can't, both sisters are Zakuk to Levi, and both sisters are Zakuk to Yehuda. So if Levi, for example, does Yibum with Leah, he's also, at the same time, he was also Zakuk to Rachel. Leah is the sister of his Zkuka. Similarly with Yehuda. Each one of them is his Zkuka and also the sister of his Zkuka, because they're two sisters.
They're two different brothers, but two sisters are the same. Two different people, three brothers.
No, there's four brothers altogether.
Two of them died.
Two of them died, so we have two left.
There's two brothers and there's two sisters.
And there's three sisters who need Yibum or Chalitza. The problem is, Minatorda, you'd have no problem. Minatorda, you'd say Levi goes and does Yibum with Rachel, let's say. Yehuda goes and does Yibum with Leah. Finished. The problem is, Midrabanan, that you can't marry the sister of your Zkuka. So how do you look at it? If he does Yibum with her, but she's his Zkuka also, so then he's marrying the sister of his Zkuka. If he marries her, same thing. She's the sister of his Zkuka, no matter how you go, back and forth.
Can you say that
Zkuka, the one who has a Zika to him.
But can you say that when one of the brothers, many brothers, even with one, second wife is not Zkuka anymore?
At that point, right. But still, when he married her, she was both Zkuka and the sister of his Zkuka. That's the problem. So we say the sisters, the two sisters, Rachel and Leah, need chalitza, not yibum, because again, it's one of those cases where it would be mutter midaraisa, but it's also midrabanan. Now, the isak, now that, because since, given, even, we're talking about over here whether yesh zika or ein zika. Whether we say yesh zika or ein zika or not, it still remains there is such a thing as zika. Zika, to a certain extent, makes her, either it actually makes her considered like your wife, or at least people think of it that way. So that now we know Minatorda, you're not allowed to marry your wife's sister. Midrabanan, then they don't want you to marry your Zkuka's sister either, because it's too similar to that. Now we're saying that Mishnah goes according to the Meir because Stam Mishnah to Meir. Now, if you're going to tell me that a mayor in fact holds that ein zika, meaning that zika does not count as if they were considered married or not, then what's the problem? Each of these women comes from a different bias. Each one has a separate... It has a separate mitzvah of chalitza or yivum. It's not like two of them were ever married to the same man, where you would say that you pick one or the other. Each one comes from a separate bias. Hayli yavim chada, v'hayli yavim chada. So fine, let Levi do yivum with Rachel, or let Yehuda do with Leah, or vice versa, as the case may be. What's the problem? If ein zika, then if ein zika, then neither of them is a skuka in that sense. Neither of them, you're not going to have a problem. V'chos skukasei.
So that's contradictory.
We just established that a mayor seems to say ein zika, but this Mishnah seems to imply yesh zika, and because of zika, that creates this problem of achoz kukasai. So what does Reb Meir hold? Yeah. The answer is la'olam ein zika. Maybe Reb Meir, in fact, does hold ein zika, but why did he say in this case you still can't do yivam the both of them? Mishum de kasava also levatol mitzvah yivamim. Because even if we say ein zika, we still might say ein zika doesn't mean that you can go be a bayim and do something to prevent yourself from doing yivam.
So there's two things, actually.
So there's two different things, in other words. We can say ein zika, but we can still say that we can still say ein zika in the sense, for example, like we said before, that if the Yavama dies, you're allowed to marry her mother or what have you, and yet say at the same time, also levatla, you're not allowed to l'chamchila go and marry the mother and thereby after her on yourself. In this case over here, for example, if Levi were to go and do yibum with Rachel, then automatically he's preventing himself from doing yibum afterwards with Leah. Where in principle there's a separate mitzvah of yibum for each one. Each one comes from a different bias. So he's not allowed to be mevatel the yibum that he could potentially do with Leah by marrying Rachel.
I would understand if it's one brother and because
he's still being mevatel. He theoretically could have done yibum with both.
But it's interesting. It's very ironic because the Rav Meir mevatels him doing zika with yibum with either.
No, he's doing the mitzvah of chalitza instead. But okay.
So what if they do yibum with both at the same time?
Each one is actually skokase. It still doesn't work.
Still secondary.
And okay, fine. Okay, you're not being mevatel mitzvah yibum. Still, come on. You know, yechel tzamtzim. You can't. We'll talk about it more on your test. But you can't have two things happen at exactly the same time. You're not going to have. You know.
One of these sisters dies. Doesn't mean with all you're doing with the other one.
Yeah, and actually, we'll talk about something similar. We'll get to that. We'll get to something similar on our day. Yeah.
If this would be a case here with one brother and one
going out. Ah, so one second.
He married both at the same time?
Well, Levi could marry both because they're from two different batim. But wait, actually.
But sisters. Alive.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, right. He's still being mevatel. Right. So actually, you're right. So what are we saying? When we say also levatel mitzvah yivamim, the problem is like this. The dilma adam yivam chad mayis edoch. Maybe, sorry, I got it wrong. The problem is, by the time, the potential problem is, by the time one of them does yivam, the other one might meanwhile have died. Then you'd be mevatel the mitzvah because like this. Right, if both of them stayed alive, then fine. You could have Levi could marry Rachel. Yehuda could do yibum with Rachel. Yehuda could do yibum with Leah. Finish. We're good. The problem is, what happens, for example, if Yehuda dies, both of them now are in a position that Levi should have to do yibum with one or the other of them. The problem is, he can't do both because they're sisters.
Right.
As you said. So therefore, by doing yibum with one of them, he is mevatel Leah from doing yibum at all.
Potentially.
Potentially.
But not old people. They're talking about young people. You bring up your brother's family for a few years.
Okay. So Tosfos points out. It's true. Usually, we're not so worried about people dying all of a sudden. The difference is here. To go back to something you were saying before, here it's not necessarily so all of a sudden. It could be a significant amount of time before he gets around to doing yibum. Meanwhile, that's enough time where we do have to be choshish that meanwhile Yehuda might die. And it doesn't have to be young people necessarily. Who says they're young?
You have to do with an age.
No, because the mitzvah of Yehuda applies even if he... In principle, it's supposed to be l'hakim l'achiv shame.
Usually you can't have children at
it. Okay, in principle... You're still right. No matter what the age, you still have the mitzvah. I mean, it's true. In principle, it's supposed to be l'hakim l'achiv shame, but still in practice, you know, as long as you're not an ilonus or a swisskama or whatever, then, you know...
Yeah.
That what?
That you're supposed to establish the house of your brother by doing evil.
To that extent, yeah, even without having children, that's true. It still upholds his name. The brother Yarshin's his property.
Right.
Yeah, there is that. That's the thing. We usually think that because the pasuk says v'haya b'chor shatelid yokum hashem ochav ames. But the Gemara is going to explain later on Dach Chavdala, that's not what it means. V'haya b'chor means that the eldest brother is supposed to be doing the one you're doing yibum, and asher teled teaches us, as we said before, that the woman can't be an eilonis.
Right.
So nothing to do with specifically that they have to have children. Yeah. Okay, the Gemara, so what? The ein zika to battle. So what if we're saying, according to the mayor, that ein zika, so what if we're battle mitzvah yivamim? Go ahead and be battle it. We find Rabbi Gamliel says that when ein zika and that you're allowed to be battle the mitzvah yadayim, the tznan, we learn in a... What? Rabbi Gamliel. Yeah. The tznan, we learn in a Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel. Now, you have a case like this. Suppose you have the two brothers are married to two sisters, and here the wrinkle is one of the sisters is a ktana, who's capable of doing miyun. Now, suppose that Reuven, who's married to the grown up girl, dies. Now, in this case, you have a problem. Shimon can't do yibum with her because she's a choisishta. On the other hand, she's only a choisishta midrabanan, because if it weren't for this little girl who he's married to, then it would be a regular case of yibum. So Tanakama says over there, what we should do is, we should tell Leah to do miyun, take away her marriage to Shimon. Now Shimon is in a position to be able to do yibum with Rachel. However, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, im miyano miyano, Rabbi Gamliel says, no, if she does miyun, fine, she does miyun. V'im loy miyano, but if she does not do miyun, tamtin ad shetagdil, then let her wait until she grows up. Rashi says it means that the older woman, Rachel, should wait until her sister grows up and becomes a gzola. V'teitzel azum ishum achoyz isha, and then she'll be able to be potter because she's achoyz ishtay.
After
Leah grows up. That's how Rashi learns it. Tosfos learns it differently. Tosfos learns it means that Shimon should hold back from having relations with Leah until she grows up and is already past the age of meal. It's fine, ain zika, but still, but he's not pastoring her by having relations with her, so he might as well wait. That's how Tosfos learns this tamtin achatagil. She, Leah herself, should wait till she grows up before she's with her husband, and then at that point, Rachel will be potter from Yibum. Either way, the point is, we're saying that Rabbi Gamliel is saying that you're allowed to be mevatel mitzvah yivamim because he's saying you don't have to make Leah do miyun. You're allowed to evade the issue of having to do yibum with Rachel.
Right.
So we see that ein zika and mutal levatel mitzvah yivamim kind of go together. So maybe Reb Meir holds the same way. Or why should we think that Reb Meir holds any differently? Why are we saying in the case going back to the four brothers and the two sisters? Why are we saying according to Reb Meir, on the one hand ein zika, but on the other hand we're saying he still shouldn't do yibum in case Yehuda dies? Shouldn't it be mutal levatel mitzvah yibamim? So he answers him, what do you mean? Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Meir, Karomis. And what are you asking? A contradiction between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Gamliel has his shritter, Rabbi Meir has his shritter. The answer is loy, hachi kamiyun. No, but what we mean to say is like this. You're going to tell me Rabbi Meir chaya shafilu l'sveika, that Rabbi Meir is concerned even about a suffix just in case Yehuda dies? And Rabbi Gamliel is not even concerned in a case of a vaday. The vaday over here, where definitely Leah is going to end up growing up and she'll be a chos ishtay and be potter. It's not logical that they would be. But it's less of a chance though. But we're saying even for a vaday, even if we know for sure, even if she's a day before her bat mitzvah, we know she's whatever. The point is, you usually don't find that they're going to argue in a kotzel or a kotzel like this. If one of them is concerned about a suffix, the other one say, fine, I'm not concerned about a suffix, but I'm concerned about a vaday. If one says I'm not concerned about a vaday, fine, but I'm concerned at least about a suffix. You're not going to have, I'm concerned even about a far-fetched suffix, and I'm not even concerned about a vada. That's too far apart. I think Mark says, why? What? Why? Dilma mandalei chayish, after the levade lechayish, why? Who says? Maybe when Rabbi Gamliel, who's not choshish, is not choshish, even for Vaday. Uman de chayish, afilu sveika chayish. And Rabbi Meir, who is concerned, yes, about mutal, about osulavatul, yes, he would hold that you're concerned about osulavatul, mitzvah yibamim, even if it's a suffix. So yes, they might be arguing minakalta alakalta. It happens.
He's
so
not concerned even with Vaday.
And he's concerned even with the suffix. So you can't prove anything just because Rabbi Meir, just because Rabbi Gamliel holds mutalavatul, mitzvah yibamim, you can't prove what Rabbi Meir would hold about that. Rabbi Meir might well still say, osulavatul, mitzvah yibamim. And therefore, with the four brothers and the two sisters, you have to do chalitza and ma'yibum. Okay. So now that we took care of that, now we established what Rav Meir holds. Going back now to, again, we started the sugya by saying that Rav holds Ein Zika, and Rav Yehuda holds Yesh Zika. We said the first one we said was Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, and the second one was Rav Yehuda Stam, without mentioning who we learned
from. What's the difference between Rav says it knows that?
And Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Ein Zika, right. And Rav Yehuda himself, at least on the face of it himself, said Yesh Zika. Now, getting back to that, Amalei Abayel Rav Yosef, you should know, Hod Rav Yehuda de Shmuel. This Rav Yehuda is saying he must have learned from Shmuel. Now, the point is, Rav Yehuda had learned first by Rav and later on by Shmuel. We have to say that this second thing that we said, Yesh Zika, has to be that he learned from Shmuel. And how do we know that? It's not because we learn in a Mishnah. Rashi quoted this Mishnah before when we started. Shemeres Yavam Shkidish Achavas Achoisa. The Shemeres Yavam, this woman who's waiting for Yibum, where the brother was meanwhile Makadish her sister. This is the case that we started discussing. So you have Levi. Levi died. Levi was married to Rachel. He dies. Rachel now is now a Shemeres Yavam to both Reuben and Shimon. She has a Zika to either one of them. Meanwhile, Reuben goes and Makadish Leah.
He is a
potential Yavam, but right now he went with Makadish Leah, which if he were to get married to her, then Rachel would be also to him as a Choizishta, as his wife's sister. So Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Amru, so in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, they said, Omrim Loi, we tell him, Hamten Achiyasa Achicha Maisa, wait with actually marrying Leah until your brother Shimon does something, does either Yibum or Chalitza, takes care of the Zika, then feel free to marry Leah. Well, because we're saying Yesh Zika. No, this is because we're saying Yesh Zika.
Just Makadosh.
Right, you have to wait before...
He was Makadosh already.
Right. The first brother.
One second. So Tosfos points out this, as I said before, Tosfos points out there's two details over here. First of all, if Reuben had been Makadosh Leah before Levi died, so it was completely beheter for him, right. there was no problem with it, right. We're not going to tell him wait. At that point, once he was Makadosh or Beheter already, fine, go ahead and marry her. Even though that's going to be Mavatal, the mitzvah of Yibum, fine, but Shimon's still available. Number two, Tosfos says, if Reuben had already married Leah, not just been Makadosh her, then also we're not going to say, stay apart until Shimon does something. We'll say, go ahead and stay married. You're married already, then fine. The problem is over here, it's twofold. Number one, he was only Makadosh her, and number two, he did it after Rachel already became his skuka, after the Zika was already established by Levi dying. That's why we tell him, wait up. That's why we tell him, wait up.
Wait with the actual marriage.
Wait with the actual marriage, right.
The rabbi not allowed that with
the Kedushin HaTosin. Why not?
HaTosin, but I mean...
So we'll allow him to, because it's not the Yavama herself, it's her sister.
Oh, yes.
Ve'amar Shmuel halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira.
And this is one of the Yavam, one of the regular single
ones. Right. Yeah. And Shmuel says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So therefore we see Shmuel holds Yesh Zika. Therefore, if Rabbi Yehuda before was saying Yesh Zika, that has to be he learned it from Shmuel. Yeah. And not from Rav. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef tells him, very nice, but let me ask you, de'idu Rav Mai, what do you have a problem if he learned it from Rav? Why are you so interested in proving that Rabbi Yehuda learned this from Shmuel? Amalei says to him, Kasha de Rav ad Rav, because otherwise you have a stira from Rav to Rav. Before we said Rav Huna said at the beginning of the sugya, we said that Rav Huna said in the name of Rav that Shemeres Yavam that Ein Zika. And now Rav Yehuda is saying Yesh Zika. If Rav Yehuda had learned it in the name of Rav, it would be a stira within what Rav says. Why? Maybe Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda themselves are disagreeing on what Rav said. We find sometimes that Talmidim disagree on what their Rebbe said. So who says? And one of the Mefarshim, Maloy HaRoyim, in the back of the Gemara points out, so, you know, usually the Gemara doesn't do this. Usually, okay, we're saying it's in the name of Shmuel. Fine, it's in the name of Shmuel. What's the problem? It almost seems like the Gemara would rather say that that both statements are in the name of Rav. Why? Because later on we're going to have a case that Rav explains according to the understanding that Yesh Zika. So therefore, instead of having, so one way or the other, either we're going to have to say here that Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda disagree on what Rav said, or we'll have to say there that Rav is explaining it not according to his own shitta. He himself holds Ein Zika, but he's explaining something according to the opinion Yesh Zika. That's also a duchik. So that's why we're saying over here, that's why we're trying to see whether we can find some way to make this go according to Rav. Not so much a stira, you can have sometimes somebody explain something not according to his shitta, but it's a doichuk to say that. Usually you assume that he would explain it according to his own shitta. Yeah. But the Gemara says no. On the other hand, over here, kiven d'itma m'shmei d'shmuel behedya, since we have an explicit statement in the name of Shmuel that implies yesh zika, because he says halacha is like a behudim and b'seira, u'm'shmei d'rav, and then we have something that's said in the name of Rav, kamaroi, according to different amaroyim, we're not going to start saying that Rav's opinion is the subject of a machlokas amaroyim, because that's also a hard thing to say. It implies that one of the Talmidim made a mistake in what his Rebbe said. Much easier to say that, yes, Shmuel said one thing, Rav said a different thing, and then there's no stira. It means that later on we're going to have to say that Rav explained something not according to his shitta. Okay, that happens. It's easier to say that than to say that either Rav Huna or Rav Yehuda misinterpreted what Rav meant. Omer Rav Kahana, so Rav Kahana says, Amrita l'shmaita kamedir of Zvid min ha'ardo. I told over this whole discussion to Rav Zvid min ha'ardo. This whole discussion that we just had, who did Rav Yehuda learn this idea that Ein Zika, that Yesh Zika rather from? Who did Rav Yehuda learn it from? This whole discussion that we just had, whether it was Rav or Shmuel. So I told it over to Rav Zvid min ha'ardo. Omer, he said to me, Asrun hochi masnisula. You guys in Pompidissa learned the discussion that way. You just heard that Rav Yehuda said it, that Yesh Zika. You weren't sure who he heard it from. And therefore, you got into this whole discussion whether he learned it from Rav or Shmuel. Anan behedya masninin. We in Nahuda have learned it explicitly. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Shemeres Yavim Shemesim, Oster Be'ima. That if Shemeres Yavim dies, you're Oster and her mother. Alma Chasavi Yesh Zika, which implies that there's Yesh Zika. You know, they learned explicitly that Rabbi Huda had said this in the name of Shmuel, which would mean, and now duh, they didn't need this whole previous discussion that we had to prove logically that it's according to Shmuel because they learned it explicitly that way.
Directly.
Yeah. But as the Shmuel, but as the Shmuel the time, and we see that Shmuel is going according to his own shita. Because Shmuel says that the halacha is like Rabbi Huda ben Seira. In that case, where Levi, and in that case, where Reuven is Mekadosh Leah.
That's also what they.
Which then the thing is, with Srichi, in that case, then you have to ask, according to the people of Nahauda, why do we need both statements of Shmuel? Why does he need to say, first of all, that the halacha is like the Behudim of Seder, which implies Yeshizika, and also that you're not allowed to marry the Shemeres Yavam's mother even after she died, which also implies Yeshizika? It's repetitious. With Srichi, we need both statements. The Iyashmin and Yeshizika, because if Shmuel had only said Yeshizika, the case of the mother, then you would think, you know, when there's Zika, when there's only one other brother, the one surviving brother is not allowed to marry the mother because then he's mimavatel, because he's mimavatel the mitzvah, and because there's no choice, obviously, if there's going to be a Zika, it's going to be with him. But maybe if there's two brothers or more, then maybe there's no Zika, because either one has an equal chance to do Yibum. And therefore, he has to tell us that the halachas that could be heard of in Masera, where the case with Rabbi Yehuda ben Masera involves where there's two surviving brothers still.
I tell you whole cases when the woman died.
Right.
No issue of anything.
No, you're right. But okay, not named Mevatel, but because Yesh Zika, because at one time she was his skuka, and was saying Yesh Zika means there's an equivalent of a marriage over there, therefore he's also to her mother. Right, you're right, it's not a matter of being Mevatel. Then you would think, when do you say like Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, when everybody involved is still alive? When Rachel the Yavama is still alive, Aval la'acha misa pakol zika. But you would think if Rachel dies, maybe the zika goes away, and you are allowed to marry the mother or any of the other relatives. Kamash malan, that's the chiddush. Like we said before, the zika b'chdi le'paka. Zika doesn't just go away on its own. There has to be an actual maisa of yibum or chalitza in order to take away the zika, and therefore until that's done, then yes, you're still also to marry the relatives. So that clarifies that Shmuel holds yesh zika in all possible scenarios, whereas Rav holds ain't zika. Mishnah says, Shnei Achim, if you have two brothers. Now this case is similar to the one from the first Mishnah, except with one key difference. You have two brothers, Umes Achim, one of them dies, V'yibum Hasheni is Eishas Achim, the second one does Yibum with the wife, V'achakach Noel V'hanach, and then another brother was born. Now this is different. The first Mishnah of the Perek had been the case where first the other brother was born, then Shimon does Yibum. Here it's the other way around. First he did Yibum, then Levi was born.
The previous case was where
Reuben died, then before the Yibum was born was done, Levi was born. Here it's the other way around. Levi was born. Here it's the other way around. Shimon did Yibum, and then Levi was born.
And his one sister left over?
No. Here we're not dealing with sisters. Here we're dealing with that Shimon has a tzara. Shimon has another wife.
Oh.
Yeah.
A new brother's allowed to marry the tzara or not?
Well, that right. Well, is he allowed to marry either of them, actually? Because you might argue, and this is what the Gemara is going to start discussing, maybe once Shimon did Yibum with Sarah, we ignore Reuven anymore. That's it. She's completely full-fledged Sarah, Shimon's wife now. We ignore Reuven, and therefore Levi is Ba'olam at the same time as Shimon. So maybe he should do Yibum with her as well. So, Umes, and then Shimon dies. Harishona Yotzeh Mishum Eishes Achiv. The first one, Sarah, is Potter because she's Eishes Achiv, because she's his brother's wife and they weren't in the world at the same time, Reuben and Levi. That's the point. That's what we're going to get to according to Reb Shimon. Vashniya Mishum Tzarasa. And the second one is Potter because she's her Tzara. And again, also by Maimer Mes, similar to the first Mishnah, we're saying if Shimon, instead of doing full-fledged Yibum, just did Maimer, and then he died, Hashniya Chalitza Solemis Yabemis, the second woman, Rivka, can only do Chalitza, not Yibum, again, for the same reason, because Midaraisa, there's no Midaraisa, she'd be Mutter for Yibum, Midrabanan, she's also because she's the sister of, not the sister, because she's the Tzara of Achoyt Ishta, of Eishas Achav of Shalaya by Lamai. Okay. Two brothers are married to two unrelated women.
Okay. Who are two brothers?
Reuben and Shimon are the two brothers.
Okay.
Rabshua Lustig told me an interesting tip. When we're talking about a case when we're dealing with the wives are not related to each other, instead of calling them by names, Sarah and Rivka, let's call them A and B. That'll clarify that we're not talking about sisters, as opposed to Reuben and Shimon are brothers. So fine. So you have Reuben and Shimon, and you have A and B, Mrs. A and Mrs. B. Reuben dies. Now, our Mishnah is talking about Shimon goes ahead and does Yibum with A. Now he's married to both A and B. At that point, Levi is born. Now, when Shimon dies, then we're saying the Tanakhama over here is saying that A was at one time married to Reuben, therefore she's Eishes Achav Shalaya by Lamai. B is her tzara, therefore both of them are potter from Chalitza to Yibum to Levi.
And the Tanakhama doesn't consider the fact that she is now the wife of
yes, she does not consider that because at one time she was Reuben's wife. Yeah. Then we're saying a different case, also a mimer. What if instead of doing real Yibum, what if Shimon only did mimer with Mrs. A? Which then only is effective midrabanan. So now midaraisa only B is married to Shimon. Midrabanan both A and B are. Therefore, Hashniya chalitza svolayim is yabemes. Therefore, the second one B can only do chalitza not yivum.
With Levi.
With Levi, yeah.
But A is potter according to all of them.
A will be yeah, because either way you look at it, because midaraisa she's eishes achav shalaya by lama for sure because no yivum was done and midrabanan maimer was done and therefore she's connected. So yeah. Now, Rav Shimon Omer miyabim la'ezimam sheyutzer. Rav Shimon says no, that you can do yibum with this is not referring to the case of the mimer. This is referring back to the original case where Sarah did actual yibum with A. That there, Rav Shimon says no, you can do yibum at this point with either one you want. Chalitza la'ezimam sheyutzer. You can do chalitza with either one you want because according to him, like you said, once he did yibum with A, we ignore the fact that she was ever married to Reuben. So therefore, she's Eishes Achiv Shahaya by Lamai. They were in the world at the same time. So therefore, it's a plain case where Shimon is married to two women, and you have a choice. Which one you want to do Yibum or Chalitza with?
you can marry both.
No, because you can never marry both because bias echad ubayin avein avayin shnei batim. You can't marry two women. You can't marry two women who come from one bias. Yeah. Time for Ma'ariv now, so maybe you think maybe we can continue for a little bit after Ma'ariv in order to at least
catch up. We'll go ahead and catch up.
Yeah, or whatever we can do. Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. Let's break for Ma'ariv and then see what.